topic today. We have this parsha that Yaakov Avinu makes a matzeva over Rachel Imenu's kever. It's called matzeva skuras Rachel. And the Torah stresses that it's till this day is called matzeva skuras Rachel. So the Torah refers to it as a matzeva and stresses that it's here till this day. So talk about maybe some of the concept behind the day of a matzeva and some of the halachas of a matzeva. The matzeva is brought down on halacha to the point that if the children of the individual passes away and the children are not putting up a matzeva, Bezdin can actually come and take money from the children's inheritance and force them to make a matzeva. We can force a husband to put a matzeva on his wife's kever. So it is something which is required in halacha. What's interesting is you look at the Gemara does not talk about it as a matzeva. The Gemara refers to it as with two other names. It refers to it as itziyun, which is the language of a pasuk in Yechezkel, a marker, like matzayin, to mark something. And that's based on the pasuk in Yechezkel. In the language of the Gemara refers to matzeva as nefesh. In us, in the fashas, the tzaddikim, the Gemara's lashon, we don't make the fashas, the tzaddikim, we don't make a matzeva for tzaddikim because their good deeds are their nefesh. So it refers to it as a nefesh. So there's three fascinating different languages which are used. The Torah uses the word matzeva, Navi refers to it as a siyum, and Chazal refers to it as nefesh. So what can we take out of that? So the purpose of the tziyun is very clear, which is the way the Gemara understands it, that mitzayin, the Gemara talks about the idea of mitzayin, to mark it, is that we should know that there's tumah there. That therefore a kayin, or a person eating shuma, or a person eating keeping taras, should not stumble over this area and become tameh, so we have to mark it. So the purpose of marking is simply to prevent the tumah issue. That's number one. The Gemara's language is, enos in the foshes l'tzadikim, means there's some element of nefesh, there's some element of something which is going to give a element of life to the person who's buried there, that his place is marked, it's indicated, people can come there, etc. That gives an element of nefesh to the person who's there. Tzaddikim don't need that, the Gemara says. Tzaddikim, even though we do the Ksav Sefer says, what we do for tzaddikim really is just the tzion part. We need to know where it is. But the nefesh part, we don't really need. We don't really need... you like to eat something?
Yes.
Yeah. There's actually some more bagels in the bag if we need them. So the purpose of the seal is to market that we have to know where it is. The nefesh part, they don't need this extra element of nefesh which we're giving some way to, as it were, extend them afterwards. The language of matseva is used to the deal of nitzav, that it's still standing, so that the human being will come back to life. And actually the fascinating thing, we don't, you're not supposed to put any pictures on the matseva of the person with nifter, but the earlier works already write that they had a minig to put a picture of a shofar on the matseva. Didn't the case we believe that the Mashiach is going to come and that there'll be Tkiyas HaMesim. So we put a picture of a shofar on the matseva to show that the idea of the matseva that's still standing. The person is there, he's still alive. He's still going to come back to life. So that's the main purpose of the matseva. That's interesting why the Torah in this week's parsha when it talks about matseva skuras rachel al hayom hazeh, and exactly that point, it's still standing to this day. The point of matseva specifically is that it should be extended and stand till that day, which is going to be in the future. So, whenever you read, I think somebody wanted to call in. So it's still going to be standing to this day. That's the idea. But the Torah actually stresses this point. Whoever's going to read it, say, "Yeah, it's still standing." Along those lines, one of the questions that Chabad Chaim writes in his Sefer Avos Chesed, that it's improper to spend large amounts of money on the matzeva, but others want to say that the minig used to be with regular stone and they move it now to use shayish, which is much stronger, to use marble, which is much stronger. It says there's a benefit in that because it stays, it lasts for longer, and that the goal is that something which should last. Just after they started using gold paint and that, etc., that they discouraged very much. That's not the point. we refer to the idea of having a matzeva. We refer to it as hakamas matzeva, which is literally standing up the matzeva, placing the matzeva, and go through some of those points. I just want to point out that I only once in my life was by many unveilings. It's only once by hakamas matzeva. So really, it's preferred. The proper thing to do is hakamas matzeva. I was by a time when we were sitting by the kever, and they brought in the stone and they put up the stone while we were there. That's hakamas matzeva. Otherwise, the matzeva is there already. You're just unveiling. Unveiling, actually, there's no real source for unveiling in Judaism. The source seems to be taken from outside of. And it could be some place we're not very excited about the idea of unveilings because it's a non-Jewish source. So you make the matzeva and then come and say yes, but the idea of unveiling, you know, covered, uncovered, there's no source for that. But Hakamas matzeva, I actually saw that one time, and it was the Sederet Israel. They already had the raised matzeva. They had the box ready, and the top stone, which was going to be the matzeva, was not placed until we were actually there. They brought it in. A good, you know, sabal on his back. You know, it took three guys to take it off his back. That's how heavy the thing was. They put it on. They put down the mortar and etc. So that's really what what is appropriate to do.
Is it very uncommon that's done?
I think in Eretz Yisrael it's a standard. I don't know. I only want to say that in Eretz Yisrael one time. As far as I know, that was called normal. I don't know.
But that's not what's done now.
That's not what's done in America. No, I'm saying it's a point of saying that really that's the right way to do it.
It's not specifically the unveiling part that doesn't have a Jewish source.
Right, right. Correct. Saying it has been put in before.
The company already puts it up or whatever.
Right,
and
yeah.
Then you come and you say has been him or Tehillim or something.
Very nice. No problem with that. Fine.
Does it not count the little plaque they put up the month before?
So that's a good one. Let's get to that little plaque over there. So when is the appropriate time to put up the matzeva? There's an Arizal which points out that you should not put up the matzeva during the Shiva, but specifically not during the Shiva, but after the Shiva you should put up immediately. According to the Arizal, you should put up the matzeva immediately after the Shiva. In Eretz Yisrael, there are places which do that. The Minhag Yerushalayim, the Chevra Kedisha will tell you that the appropriate time to put up the matzeva is right after the Shiva. In Chutz La'aretz, that's definitely not how you see people doing it. They're extending it much longer. The Arizal says it's not healthy for the mace not to have the matzeva there. Api Kabbalah, based on Kabbalah issues. So one suggestion is that marker that they put there with the name, which they put up immediately, that would fulfill the role of what we're trying to accomplish until we put something more permanent, etc. The question is, based on that, the result says you may not put it up during the first 7 days. If that's what you're using, you should put it up for 7 days either. So that's a little bit funny. And there's an Apelliotis that says that it has to be made out of stone. So according to him, you would not fulfill that obligation. So the minute the Chutzlorets is the reason why they argue not to put it up till later on is because since it acts as some element of kavod to the mace during the first year, it's a time of availus and pain, not a time of kavod yet. So therefore, we wait to do it till later on. That'd be the explanation why we wait. That's which again is not like the Rizal, but you know that our minute is not following the Rizal on that point. Okay.
What's your reasoning for one? They put the acronyms which are from some source, and I think Tehillim that.
Okay, so hold the question. I'm not keeping track of time. Somebody has a watch.
There's a great clock behind you.
30.
Okay, I got that. Okay. So that's the time to put on the table. What do you put on the table? What do you put on the table? So. It's clear in the Gemara that they wrote something on the matzeva. The psukim in Navi, which talk about the matzeva, Yaakov put a stone there. There's no indication they wrote anything on it. The language of the Navi in Yechezkel, they put a marker there. Again, there was no indication there was any type of writing on it. The Gemara's language actually was that they would mark it off with some type of paint. There was no indication of any writing. However, there is one place where Chazal talk about reading the ksav on the kever. So from there we see that this discusses the issue of reading the ksav on the kever. It means that they had a ksav on the kever. They wrote something on the kever. The Gemara never says what it is, what they wrote. So what do you put on the put on a tzeva, you put the name of the person who passed away. The source for that actually is that we have the matzeva of the Rif, and a lot of the halachas actually learned from the matzeva of the Rif. You know, the Chassam Sofer quotes a lot of his halachas. He went, I don't know what he saw, or he had seen somebody had written over what it said. So it had his name. It has the father's name. Some places have the mother's name. So what's the issue with the mother's name? Really, there's no requirement to put the father's name or the mother's name. The main thing is the person's name. But since one of the benefits of having the matzeva is that when we go there, we daven for the person who passed away, that his neshama should be accepted well in Shemaim, etc. So when a person passes away, how do you daven? We know the person who's ill, the minhag is to daven for the person's name plus the mother's name. What about a person who passed away? So minhag Ashkenazim is to put the daven then by the father's name. Minhag Sfaradim is to daven by the mother's name. So so I had this recently. I was arranging a shnayis for a shloshim for a person who was a Sfaradi, and I said, give me the name. I gave me the father, his father's name and his grandmother's name, his father's mother's name. So I didn't say anything because I know that's their minhag. Their minhag is, somebody asked, like, it's the mother's name. I said, yeah, the minhag of Sfaradim is that they still daven based on the mother's name. So you could put the mother's name on the matzeva according to that, not the father's name on the matzeva. The minhag is to put the time when the person was nifter. Putting his birth date is not really required. There's no need to really put the birth date. It's something wrong with putting it there, but it's not really required. The main thing is the name of the nifter, the time he was nifter, because that's relevant to know calculation of the yard side, different things. We want to know when that is. And we write Tainafsha Tsurubasurachayim, or the abbreviation of that with the Tav, the Nun, the Tzadi, the Beis, and the Hay. So Tainafsha Tsurubasurachayim is based on a Pasuk in Shmuel. And since the purpose of Matzeva is this idea that the Shema is still standing, and it's going to come to time to become to back to life, so we simply mentioned that concept that we believe in, that his nefesh should be Tsurubasurachayim and should be gathered together in the eternal life, which is there. So we simply mentioned that on the Matzeva, because that is the primary purpose of the Matzeva, is to be able to do that. Anything you write on the Matzeva, there's an interesting halacha by Hespin, about exaggerations by Hespin. So a person passes away and they get up and say he was the biggest tzaddik in the world. Now, he really wasn't the biggest tzaddik in the world. He actually wasn't such a big tzaddik at all. Matter of fact, he wasn't even sure he was a tzaddik at all. You know, so can you say that at the Hespin? So the Gemara and the Halacha says no, because the person's going to this point, after he passes away, he's going to his judgment. They say, listen, you know, they said you were so wonderful, let's see. So you're going to actually cause something bad for the person by exaggerating about him, because they're going to say, hey, there's a standard we're expecting you to live up and you're not living up to. So it's going to act as a judgment against him. However, you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit because everybody has more than we know. That's what Morris says. You know, you say, you know, he was very machban on davening. He was machban. He wasn't very. Oh, yeah, maybe he was very machban on davening. It's very possible. But they're saying, you know what I mean? He ran to the end of the verse from Indian. He didn't. So you're not doing them a favor by saying that. So the same thing is true on the language of the Matzeva. Any type of hesped that you're going to write on the Matzeva is part of this act function as a form of a hesped, and you're saying this person was wonderful, and he really wasn't so wonderful. You're not doing him a chesed by writing that. He was the most wonderful mother, grandmother, and aunt. And, you know, actually, she was a little bit of a witch and a little bit of a shrew. That's not right. You don't do her a favor by writing that. It's not doing the nifter a favor by writing that. Fine. I'll tell you how far you take it. The Nesivus HaMishpat, right? The Nesivus, it's one of the main Svarim which we use in Halacha, in Chosh HaMishpat, we use it in Yeridei Chavas Das, we use it in Arachayim, Derech HaChayim. I mean, he's one of the Amudim of Hara. He left in his Savoah, in his will, do not write the name Harav or Hagoyin next to my name. Because I'm not a Goyin. And Harav, maybe I shouldn't become a Rav. Maybe I'm not right to be a Rav. Who says I'm right to be a Rav? I don't want them to say Shemaim. I wrote a Sefer. Right, they wrote a Sefer. That's a fact. You can't deny that I wrote the Sefer and see it was a Mishpat, a Chavas Das, etc. But don't call me a Rav or a guy. Right? That's what he wrote. Because I don't need it. You don't do me any favors by writing that. Now, that being said, Rav Moshe has a Shuvah.
They didn't do it, no?
They didn't do it. I have a Rebbe. It's really funny. I mean, I won't say it's funny. I have a Rebbe who left such a Tzavuah. It says Poi Nitman, that here is buried. It says his name. It says the date. That's all it says. He's in the middle of a cemetery of many tzaddikim. The matzeva next to him is like this big, and it's like, you know, 20 lines of the other side, the same thing. He's in the middle with nothing on it. That's how he left. There should be nothing on there at all. So I mean, the nesivas, they now the remersh of the tshuva, he said like this. There is a concept of sometimes that they change the matzeva, whatever reason. So the meaning on that is, if we have to change the matzeva, we bury the original matzeva. We don't just discard it. We bury it there with by the mace. You put a new matzeva. What do you write on the new matzeva? So Rosh says if it's a child who's renewing the matzeva, they have to write everything which is there in the beginning. They have to write. They cannot take any kovod which was there for their parents, which is written, inscribed in the matzeva. It would be considered a lack of kovod to take it away. If it's somebody else other than the parent, the child, they're renewing the kever of the you know, this tzaddik, etc. They can choose. They don't have to follow the original inscription. They can do whatever they want. He says, but when it comes to a child, it would be a lack of kovod to take that away.
Is it Barry Matzeva that is there but not being used? And very specifically, in Eretz Yisrael, in certain cemeteries, they put the kever up for someone who's reserved it to prevent kever thieves, which is an issue in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. So there are kfarim there that have names, but that's it. Because those are the people who own it, but are not currently using it, so to speak.
Right, so that's not a matzeva. That's not really a matzeva.
It looks like a kever. Like
I understand.
The whole point is that it looks like...
Right, I understand. So that's the real issue is, you know, that this requirement is because you... sort of, this became connected, as it were, it's a nefesh, it's a representation of the neshama to here in this world, so you can't take that away from the person. But if the person's still not ready over there.
Starting is because of kavod, or it's because...
What? Sorry, what?
It's like geniza?
It's like a geniza. It belongs... As it were, the mace is kind of it was there for the purpose of the tzarech mace. You see this concept in halacha. The Mor says you gathered money for the purpose of a person, and they had extra money left over, and the person passed away. You can use the money for a matzeva, because that's considered tzarech mace. That's part of the needs of the mace to have.
So, what is the time? Because you said in the U.S., outside Israel, they have the unveiling a lot later. So, what are the times that?
The meaning is to do it at the end of the year, but a person does not have to wait till the end of the year. And really, it would be appropriate. The main thing is the stone, not the ceremony. So, the matzeva could be put up even earlier. And the ceremony, which that's the main covenant, is the ceremony that should wait till towards the end of the year.
Okay. The other question I have: so, in most of the matzevot, you have the Hebrew name, but they don't, they do it like they have top or whatever the Hebrew name is. But some of them want to be very accurate and say, put the hay in front. And I was wondering what you thought of that.
The hay.
What for the date? The Hebrew date.
5,000.
Because 5,000, it's not really.
I don't have any strong opinion one way or the other.
Have you ever seen that? Because people will say, well, how do we know when we're in the next century what year they were?
Okay, I hear that. I think we'll...
So that's what my mom's, we were deciding on it. My brother and sister, we have the hay in front when no one has it. Because he said, well, you never know. Next
millennium. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But there's no real basis for that, right?
I'm not aware. Okay. Okay. One last point: the to write on the matzeva, because it's something which lasts. So it's some service says you're even allowed to write the Shem Hashem if you needed to. And in the matzeva of the Rif, the name of Hashem is written out because it's made to last. You don't have to worry about any type of bizoyim. People are not going to do something which is inappropriate in front of the matzeva in the basic chorus. So that's not an issue. There is a Maram Shik, who was one of the main rabbonim in Hungary, and it was not only him, but others afterwards, made a strong case against not putting English on a matzeva, because this is something that you're tying to the nifter over here, and you're trying to say his true essence, this is his Hebrew name, Beit what you're saying about him, etc. But to write the name in English, that's not really the true essence of the person. So he was very strong against it. He felt it was, it came from the Goyim. Historically, they never did it. It's a Goyish thing, etc. When I've been asked the Shaila, usually it's relevant to people which, you know, they're much more comfortable with the English name. The family is not so fluent in Hebrew, etc. And this is their way to be able to recognize. So remember, one of the purposes of this is to be at Siyun, that people should recognize who it is, etc. So for them, they're not doing it because they're copying the Goyim. They're doing it because that's their way for them to make it Siyun, to make a marker for it. So we have here, as it were, almost a conflict between the Nefesh purpose and the Siyun purpose. So I said, I think if it's a Shalom Bayis issue, you definitely would go ahead and put it over there. At the time of the Kamas Mitzvah, the basic minig is to say a Hesped, to say a Kibbutz Tillim, say a Kamole, if it's a time of day when you can say a Kamole and a Kaddish. There's no real source in Halacha what to do by a Kamas Mitzvah, because it's not really something which is required in Halacha. The ceremony, the main thing is placing the Mitzvah there, not the ceremony which comes with it. That being said, there was a question was that they wanted to learn some Mishnayos there. Normally you can't learn Mishnayos in front of the Meis, right? Because it's, but Mishnayos is Tzarech HaMeis Mutter. So the Mishmer Shalom says you're allowed to learn Mishnayos there in the basic chorus by the Kamas Mitzvah if they're the honor of the person who was there.
Okay.